If you could grab a Bible real quick this morning, if you don't have one today, there's one in front of you in the pews. Maybe a blue or black one in the pew. If you could turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 2, it's the first book of the New Testament. And if you're able this morning, let's honor God's word and stand as we read these two verses. Matthew 2, verses 10 and 11. All right, verse 10, it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." May God bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. My stomach has been growling the whole time. Amen. So this will be hopefully tidy and short, but I hope effective. I don't want y'all to just see this as going through the motions to get to the lunch. Let's tune our ears to God's word in these final moments. The theme of today's cantata was "Come, let us adore Him." And when we saw the play today and we saw them talking about the shepherds coming and then the wise men coming, we've turned to our text here with the wise men and we see exactly this adoring taking place. And so if you look back at verse 11 with me, what we're going to see is really the point that come let us adore Him with humility. We come and adore Christ with humility. Where do we see that? It shows that these three wise men, quote, fell down and worshiped Him. They fell down and worshiped Him. As they worshiped, they first fell down. They went to a posture of humility. These wise men came before the Christ child, not a baby by that time, but a toddler. And they fell down before Him. And it reminds us, we have to come humbly before Jesus. In order to become a Christian, you must humbly come before Jesus. Namely, you must admit that you are a sinner in need of Jesus. If you don't admit that, then you don't need a Savior. If you're not in trouble, you don't need a rescue. I remember in college, my freshman year, there was this kid, Jimmy, on my hall, and he had this slogan. He would go everywhere. We'd be playing football, and he would get tackled real hard, and he'd jump up real quick, beating his chest, and say, "I ain't never scared. I ain't never scared." He would always say that everywhere we went. I ain't never scared. I ain't never scared. He's a little bit in denial, so one of my other friends on the dorm decided he was going to prove to him that he was scared. And children, close your ears. Don't ever do this at home. Adults, don't do this either. His roommate put some type of filament on a plug in his dorm room and set up a camera in the corner. And then he's just sitting there in his bed, and he was just like, "Oh, hey, Jimmy, can you get my alarm clock?" Or it was something like that. You know, "Can you go plug this in real quick?" And he plugs it in, and this big spark happens in the room, and Jimmy's just going nuts, and he's just prancing across the room, and we caught the whole thing on video. In fact, all the electricity in the whole dorm went off. We had to go find the breakers and reset it after we took this filament out. Wasn't my idea. I just enjoyed the laugh. He was scared. He was in denial about that. You ever met a man? Maybe you are that man. It's stereotypical, I think, of men, not women, with this. You never go to the doctor. You know, you're almost in denial about ever being sick. "I'm not sick. I don't need a doctor. I'm not going. You can have stage 4 cancer. I'm not going to the doctor." You're in denial about your sickness. Friends, is that you spiritually this morning? Are you in denial about your sin? That you would never go to the doctor named Jesus who gave His life on the cross willingly for your sin? Friends, God does exist. God exists. He created us in His image. And it didn't take long in the Bible. By Genesis 3, we rebel against God. All of us have sinned against God. We've disobeyed God. And that heaven and earth experience in the Garden of Eden where God and man were perfectly together was now separated. There was a great chasm between us as sinners and a holy God. But God has a plan through the line of Abraham to give us a Savior that will bless all the families of the earth. He promises it to Eve. He promises it to Abraham. We have this mystery at the end of the Old Testament. How is this going to happen? How can sinful man be at one again with the holy God? Because God is this God of justice. Yes, he loves us, but he also must hold us accountable for our rebellion against him. How can this work? Enter Jesus, amen? Jesus comes, and at the cross, you see someone that never sinned take your sin upon himself. We see ourselves as sinners, not being in denial about that, but as sinners that by faith, repentance and faith in Jesus, turning and forsaking our worship of ourselves and everything else in this world and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. We can be saved. We are forgiven. We receive Christ's righteousness in that moment of faith, as Christ has already received our sin on the cross. He rose from the dead to prove that God the Father, this holy God, this wrathful God, we don't have to be scared of that word as Christians, because God's wrath was fully satisfied in his Son absorbing it fully on the cross on our behalf. We see his love at the cross. We see his justice at the cross, and the riddle is solved. That's how we can come and adore God in Christ Jesus. We can adore him because we don't have to come in fear anymore that we'll be struck dead by his mere holiness. No, we can commune with him again. We have peace with God in Christ Jesus. We have eternal life to enjoy Christ Jesus. We see them coming to adore him with humility. But then, our second point, come let us adore him with our treasures. With our treasures. You see in verse 11, then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now some people try to allegorize this story and say, well, the gold represents this and the frankincense represents this and the myrrh represents this. I don't think we should be doing that with this verse. The overall point is this little child was worthy of these gifts. He was worthy of them giving up their own treasures and giving it to him, to adore him with treasure. So we're reminded we are to give our gifts to Jesus. We are to give our lives to Jesus. Everything we have is owned by Jesus. He is sovereign over the world. He's given you your intellect. Give it back to him. He's given you, he owns all your money. So make every decision as if it is glorifying Jesus. And particularly, now focusing off of the Christian for a second, for an unbeliever in the room, that is what this repentance and faith looks like. It looks like you, yes, admitting you're a sinner, there's that bowing down before Jesus, but seeing Jesus as worthy as receiving treasure. He is worthy of our adoration. Like, he is worthy of our love and devotion to him. Like, Mary in the Bible, Mary that goes before Jesus, not Mother Mary, but Mary Magdalene. She goes before Jesus. She breaks open this year-long wages worth of perfume and puts it on his feet and washes his feet with her hair. What a great sacrifice. You see people all throughout the Bible giving up so much for Jesus because he's worthy of it. I have a question for you. If I said to you that heaven had streets of gold, it was a place of no sickness, it was a place of eternal life, it's a place where all of your friends in Christ you can meet with again. All those things will happen when you get to heaven, but Jesus won't be on his throne. The presence of God will not be in heaven. Would you want to go there still? Now, I think we need to be a little bit more honest than what we might be to that question. I think some of us want the hand of God and not his heart, not him, the face of God. Every day of the week, some of us would answer that question. Yes, Give me eternal life. Give me peace. Give me friends. Give me no sickness, no cancer. Give me all those things. Whether Jesus is there or not, okay. That's sometimes our version of heaven. I want to challenge you today. If your true answer in your heart is yes, I would take that. I'd submit to you that you need to evaluate if you're really a Christian. Okay, we don't come to Jesus because we want just his hand. And we come to Jesus because he's worthy of our praise. In fact, we don't come to Jesus because we're scared of hell and we need like a get out of hell ticket. That might be a secondary motivation, but our primary motive in coming to Jesus is because he's worthy. We adore him. Today's title of the cantata was Come Let Us Adore Him. It wasn't Come Let Us Go to Jesus because we're afraid of hell. Like, adore him. Adore Jesus. See him as worthy. Fall in love with him. Give him gifts. Give him your faith. Give him your life. Us men know that often when we are courting a woman, we'll do extra things to impress them, right? Hey, baby, you need that foot rub? You know, let me open up the door for you. And put on some better clothes and clean up a little bit. And then you get married and it just all falls apart, right? Some of you are like, nope. I date my wife still. Amen. Amen. Right? I hope we're not doing that with Jesus. I hope we don't think that we're supposed to impress Jesus so that he'll get in a relationship with us. And then now we're a Christian and yeah, we got eternal life. And now we can just let all that fall by the wayside because we've got it. We're in a covenant with him. You know, the gospel is almost the opposite of that tendency in our marriages. You can't impress God. You can't impress him. Sinner, quit trying to open the door for God. You can't impress him. He created you. He's not impressed with you. You're a sinner. You've rebelled against him. And God, the scriptures say, for his own worth, his own exaltation, his own glory has chosen to send his son Jesus to save you. God is impressed with himself. Who else should he be impressed with, friends? He has saved you for his own glory, Ephesians 1 says. Psalms 23, he does all that awesome stuff, lays me beside still waters for his name's sake. So stop trying to impress him, sinner, and just come to him as you are. And say, I'm a sinner, and I need you. And guess what? He then gives you the Spirit to ensure that through your life, you will draw closer to him. You will grow in him. And you will keep open. You will open that door for him. If you are connected to the vine of Jesus, you will produce fruit, John 15. Friends, be impressed with God. Allow what he's done for you to impress you this Christmas. And then finally today, back in verse 10, before they give the gifts, come let us adore him with great joy. It says, when they saw the star that led them to the Christ child, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Do you hear almost the redundancy? Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Okay? They were very, very joyful. And I want to remind us that God has created you where you will only be satisfied in following him. Christian, if you're struggling with a sin issue in your life right now, you want to know how you overcome sin, not by psyching yourself out. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. Fix your mind on the gospel. The joy that you're receiving from sin, let that be overcome by the joy that you're receiving from following Jesus Christ. It's a joyful ride. to the kingdom of God. He's worthy of it. If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes. I probably do this about once every 6 months at this church. At this time, I really want you to be thinking, am I really a Christian? That's Keysville, Virginia. Of course I'm a Christian. No, are you really a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus? I want you to spend some time thinking about that. And if you feel the conviction that I need to repent, I need to turn from worshiping other things, I need to turn from trying to work my way to heaven and impress God, I need to simply just give God my life and let Him transform me. Forgive me of my sin and give me eternal life to be with Him in heaven and enjoy Him forever. If that's you today, I pray you pray a prayer from your heart. Just say to God at this moment, God, I believe in your Son Jesus, that He is my Savior. I want to give Him my life. Teach me. Show me. Give me the desires to worship you with my life. I pray that you would do that at this moment. Father, I pray that you would help us adore you this Christmas. Listen, we know, Lord, we confess that we're all sinners. We all need you. As a Christian, I continue to sin from day to day, Lord, but I pray that you would help me as you promise to continue repenting, to continue enjoying you until that day where there is no more sin. And I can be with you forever. Father, I pray that there would be no soul in this room today that would leave without clinging to the gospel by faith and allowing it to change their lives and making you number one, central, permeating out of everything that we do. Holy Spirit, move in this moment. Convict. Draw conversations during lunch today. Lord, I pray that there would be folks here today that would be called out of darkness into your marvelous light, that had no confidence when they entered this morning that they could stand before you, a holy God, on their own account, but can walk, go to bed tonight with the confidence that it is by Jesus that they can stand declared holy before you. Lord, thank you for creating us. Thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.